talk about this coming up. That was a particular thing to Israel. And that comes up here, and we'll give more clarity to that. Okay, folks, you should have your Bibles once again open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin focusing our attention on the last four verses, verses 28, 29, 30, and 31. And from our last lesson, you ought to appreciate that, you know, when it comes to what we're trying to do with these studies is recognizing the more excellent way. You should now see more and more that it's an absolute must to appreciate the more excellent way and what it's all about. And by the way, I don't mean it's not sufficient enough. I could have told you in 10 or 15 minutes probably, you know, the more excellent way is here, the more excellent way is the completed Word of God. But that's not sufficient enough to be able to go back and look at Romans and deal with these lists of gifts that you come up against here in 1 Corinthians, and there's some other passages that have some of them listed in there. It's not just, I don't mean just recognizing what the more excellent way is, but it's a must to recognize that it really is far better. It's far superior. And why it's a far more excellent way than any or all of those spiritual gifts, and especially the gifting mechanism of the Holy Spirit sovereignly bestowing them, and really understand why that's so. That's what we're after, to give you a sufficient amount of that kind of an understanding so that you have a grip on why the more excellent way, not just what it is, but why it's more excellent. And that's one of the reasons I'm going to spend some time going through this more than what I first thought about. Because I want to, there's some things, I mean some incredible things, that are sitting in those 13 verses of chapter 13. For some reason, I always heard it, I think I did check this out at one time. I'm starting to become old and forgetful. But the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians was something that Thomas Jefferson did not like. I know he didn't like the whole of the book of the Revelation. He ripped it out of his Bible. He didn't like that. He said that John was a raving lunatic, and so he ripped the Revelation out. And he didn't like the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians for some strange reason. I never did understand why that was so. But that's an amazingly wonderful chapter to be able to understand why it is Paul is going to bring the more excellent way in, talk about what it is, give all of this corrective doctrine, and by doing so, take them back to the issue of charity and of love. And you can almost, as you go through this, you'll almost let your mind go back, and it doesn't have to go back far, but go back to all of that we have studied about. You could just see Paul saying, you guys, you know, you didn't get your first increment, your first component of your sonship decision-making skill down. And it's just amazing what we're going to see. But it is a must to have some more sufficient understanding of just what it is, because you won't be able to understand and appreciate any more than merely what the more excellent way is if you don't appreciate and view these things as you should, which is within the realm of this overall master plan or this grand design in connection with spiritual gifts, offices, diversities of administrations, the diversities of the operations of God, and especially that last one, which is the appreciate at least in a... And all we're going to get is a basic concept of what these diversities of operations are. Don't think that I'm going to list a bunch of them. If we can come away with understanding two or three of them, that'll be sufficient enough to get started. Because you're not going to know all of them. In fact, I'll tell you right now, as a pastor teaching this, I don't know all of them. I know more of them than you do. But there's some of them that you don't really get an understanding of until the curriculum gets later on. But they're all in Romans through Philemon. They're all there. Every operation of God has now been written down. He's vested all of it there, and he's vested the power to get those operations accomplished in the word you hold in your hand. That's where he's vested the power to do it. Some of these things ought to, you know, you talk about the 4th of July, you ought to have fireworks going off and thinking, man, things are clicking far better in my sonship life. I understand why we went over some of the things we did and why we're getting the first things first, why all this is happening. My land, you're light years ahead of the greatest Bible scholars alive today. Do you know that? You are. Light years. You're not just head and shoulders. You're light years above them in your understanding. They'll never get this. They're in the darkness of their own imagination. So that's what our goal here is, to view these things, these diversities, in a basic understanding, but view them from the perspective of your Father. And to see them from His perspective, because if you only view them from yours, it's that exercise we've gone over and over and over and over again through our sonship establishment. If you only view these things from your perspective, and you start to see them only from what you desire, or you start seeing functions, operation, you start seeing offices within the assembly and aspects that could be grasped by you, things that you would desire to do and that you could do well, or you want to aid. So if you don't see these things from the overall design of what they're for, and you only see them from the perspective of desiring an office for the sake of having it, I just desire this for the sake of, well, it's something to do. Or with looking at some that you can't do, or you look with envious eyes at other offices as ones that you're not in any way equipped for, as the Corinthians did, all going after, well, we can all sure speak in tongues, and all going after the lesser gifts at the expense of all the best ones. They're all going after lesser ones at the expense of all the others. That's nothing more than fleshly, carnal, satanically inspired ways of looking at these gifts and looking at these operations and looking at these offices that we're going to be viewing. You've got to view them the way the doctrine on that page tells you to view them, and that's to view them the way your Father teaches it to you, with this overall design in view. And when you do, you'll see that some of them served only for, as we showed on that little timeline chart, for a very limited amount of time at the beginning of this dispensation of grace, and they're no longer in use. And by the way, just to go back to that little timeline chart, once they're no longer in use, once the more excellent way has come in, where'd my pen go? And we can put X there for the more excellent way. Once that happened and those gifts went out of use, they're no longer going to be used throughout the remainder of the dispensation of grace. And this is when the rapture will take place. So they're not in use now. Once they go out, they're out for good. So we have to really appreciate these within the framework of what God's Word says about them and from His perspective. Now, of course, there's operations. The operations, let's go back to the operations thing here. I think that was this one. There's operations of God that are still in effect, and it takes offices to fulfill those operations, to achieve those operations. It takes diversities, we'll say instead of gifts here, diversities of offices, as we are going to deal with them today, not gifts given sovereignly by the Spirit, but the diversities of offices that will still administer to the administrations of the Lord, to His body, and fulfill diversities of operations. But because there were some gifts that were designed to only function at the beginning of this dispensation of grace temporarily, they served operations of our Father that too were only designed to be temporary. Other operations of God are still in effect. But the ones that went out for good. That's my point. Some of these operations are still in effect throughout the balance of the dispensation of grace and are now to be gotten knowledge of and appreciated under this more excellent way, which is far superior than the gifting, the supernatural gifting of those by the Holy Spirit and what He provided for. Well, without getting down that road anymore, I hope I didn't confuse anybody by what I just said there, but let's now read these verses together here, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse 28. And we'll see how far we can get. I'll tell you right now, it looks to me like, given our time tonight, I don't know if we'll get them all on the board tonight, but we'll see what we can do. If we don't, we'll get them on there Sunday and just keep going. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now this amplifies upon verse 6. Verse 28 says, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts." And then the shocker. "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." That last part of verse 31 is the stunning statement of it all. "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And that is far superior. I like the word superior because it is that. That's what more excellent is. It's superior. It supersedes than the spiritual, supernatural gifting process that only existed temporarily at the beginning of this dispensation of grace. And by the way, just to say that, again, if you ever sat down with somebody who was of the charismatic Pentecostal apostolic ilk, they would think you lost your mind by making such a... But I didn't make the... Paul made the statement. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, what they're going to tell you is that you don't understand 1 Corinthians 13:10 properly. That's what they're going to tell you. They're going to say the more excellent way, when Paul says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away," they're going to say that what that means is that when Jesus Christ himself comes back to this earth, which they get screwed up all over the place, but which would legitimately be right here at the end of the Lord's day of wrath, that's when these things will be done away. So what they'll tell you is that the perfect thing that that's talking about in verse 10 is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'll tell you what I used to do, and I'm not going to do it anymore, but this is what I used to do to combat that. I would say, well, one of the problems you got there is the word perfect, which is the Greek word T-E-L-I-O-N, teleion, T-E-L-I-O-N. You see that O-N ending in the Greek? That is a neuter ending. That's not talking about a perfect one. That's talking about a perfect thing. Jesus Christ is not mentioned as a perfect thing. He's a perfect one. And I'd make a big deal out of that. Guess how many people I convinced? None. I'm not going to do that anymore because there are times where Jesus Christ is mentioned by a neuter word like which. Jesus Christ which, not Jesus Christ who. And if I try to do this today, I'll wind up, as the saying goes, running my nose into a door, opening a door into my own nose. Because somebody who's sharp will say, "You believe the King James, don't you?" I say, "Yeah." And they'll show me all those passages. They say, "Well, it's referred to neuter here, neuter here, neuter here, and the Holy Spirit is referred to itself, neuter here." So that is a pseudo solution. Sounds good. It's also impressive if you can actually write teleion in the Greek. That's even more impressive. But everything I said is true about that word. But really, what's more impressive than that is actually verse 9. After talking about, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but after talking about charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail; whether there be tongues, they shall cease; whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Jesus isn't anywhere in verse 9. It's not saying, for we know Jesus partly, or we know Jesus' prophecies in part. That's talking about what's been written down. The context, I'm telling you, is far more powerful to persuade that when he says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And he goes on to even reiterate that. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood. So something that's going to, that we can speak, and something that we can read, and something that we can understand is going to supersede the less excellent way. The context is far more powerful. And by the way, how many people do you think I will persuade by the context of 1 Corinthians 13? Probably zero. So far, I'm zero. Maybe someday, but I haven't found it. Maybe you're more successful than I am. Hopefully you are. You probably have a much more pleasing personality. And that can go a long way. All right. The stunning statement is stunning. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And that's going to sound like it runs totally counter to, wait a minute, wouldn't it more excellent for the Holy Spirit to zap you with a spiritual gift? That sounds totally counter to spiritual gifts being supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit to believers. In fact, when you read that right there in verse 31, that's going to be a stunning statement to you. If you'll never understand and appreciate a more excellent way, and you won't understand that if all you do is look at the spiritual gifts through your own eyes, you'll never see that. That's not a stunning statement at all, but that's the truth. You'll never understand and appreciate the more excellent way over against the supernatural gifting of the spiritual gifts if all you see it is through your own eyes, or if you look at spiritual gifts any other way than exactly how you're taught to look at them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. Well, let's begin looking at the diversities of operations up there that God wants to accomplish and get done and fits into which gifts fit into which operation. All right? And on the basis of that, and we're going to go to this chart here. On the basis of understanding the operations of God, we'll be able to appreciate by that, especially what I'm after, is the temporary nature of the spiritual gifts. And we'll be able to appreciate, when we get back to Romans 12, 6 through 8, the more excellent way in which we are to make a choice and decide and determine as a son, an adult son, upon an office in which we're going to function in the local assembly, that in turn will minister to the Lord's body and in turn function in one of the operations of God the Father. All right, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All right, let's put them, just zap them up on the board here. Here they come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 8 gifts given by the Apostle Paul, and those gifts, folks, are ranked. He doesn't just come along like he oftentimes does in a lot of his listing of things and just lists them, which you're always suspicious of the fact that there's got to be sense and sequence to them and all that kind of business. But here, he actually gives terminology that lets you realize, in fact, it's unescapable, that he's ranking them as best to least. All right? That's one of the things you have to first of all appreciate, that Paul is ordering them or ranking them from best to least. And sometimes that's a shocker and something you just need to get over the hump of. And that is that both Paul and God himself view these things as some being best, some being better than others. It's not best in the sense that the others are worse or meaningless, but they're best fit to fulfill the various operation God is after, and there's some that are more important than other operations. And that's, by the way, that's only based upon any honest analysis of your human body. As good as Braille is, it doesn't beat having a set of eyes. As good as American Sign Language is, it doesn't beat having a working set of ears. Yeah, there's workarounds. And yes, it's true that other senses, that's an interesting thing, other senses actually get heightened when one is gone. But that only goes to show you the naturalness of the body to have something in it that's far more better, best suited to do the job of seeing. Eyes are more than the tips of your finger. All right? So this only goes to the natural analogy that we're working with all along. Well, there are gifts that are better and best. And we need to appreciate here that these are gifts, they are not operations. What you've got listed here in these eight are gifts. That's not the operations I asked you to think about. The operations aren't listed. You didn't think you were going to get off that easy. No, you have to think about what are these designed to do. But we're going to have to do some of that. And some of that, by that I mean, we're going to have to start looking a little carefully, more careful, and really appreciate something about these gifts and the way they're ranked, and start appreciating, hey, some of these could actually be grouped together. And that's what I asked you to do all the way back there in Romans. And that's going to be very important for us back there. So this is really good exercise. Because you should be going back to Romans and thinking, hey, there's some of these that are grouped together. Well, there's some of these that are grouped together. Some stand alone, but some are grouped together. And I'm going to try to make this, instead of trying to just get eight different operations out here, I think it's going to be more helpful to us in what we're called on to do as sons in Romans, to see the groupings and narrow the operations down a little bit. And that's what we're going to do, because when you think about even where a couple of them could be grouped together, there is a particular single operation of God that lies behind that group or that gift or gifts that are listed and ranked. Well, when you look at these eight gifts and the way Paul ranks them, you've got, you've got a first. That's what apostles is. A first, a secondarily, or a second, that's what prophets are. A third, or thirdly, teachers. And isn't it interesting how that you have, he doesn't come along and say, fourthly, fifthly, sixthly, seventhly, eighthly. But he says, first, secondly, secondarily, thirdly, and after that, you've got a fourth, miracles. Miracles is an after that. I kind of like that too. Miracles is stuck in the middle of this thing. There's some that are far more important than that. I'll never convince my aunt of that, but there you go. But you've got an after that, a fourth, and then all you got is a then. See that? Then. is your fifth, consisting of four gifts. So you do have a fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, but you've got healings, helps, governments, tongues. That's just, and then you brup a list of them. Well, what needs to be appreciated right here is that with each of these gifts, or within the grouping of these gifts, there is lying behind it, or standing behind that, behind the scenes, what you, and whether you could come up with the exact expression that I write on the board, that's not important. What's important is that you see there's an operation of God that stands behind those things. Whether you and I see eye to eye on what we call it, I'm not concerned about nomenclature right now. I'm concerned that you see God doing something with apostles, prophets, teachers. See God doing something with that. There's operations that stand behind that. And there are operations of God, and then you get a gift in some cases, or gifts plural, to accomplish the operation. The actual operation of God isn't listed, as I say, but the gift or gifts that accomplish the operation is. And so the ranking is important, and the terms Paul uses here to rank them is important. And by us perceiving the operation that goes along with the gifts, we also appreciate there's a goodness to it, or a good, a better, a best, the best ones. And the best ones is what everything else ought to be coveting. The best ones are the ones that need to be utilized and supported more than any of the others. But the critical thing here is to begin to see what the operations of God are that are associated with the spiritual gift that's designed to accomplish it. Again, as it serves, ministers the body of the Lord. Well, what Paul's done here by ranking them the way he does is that you get these spiritual gifts, and they line up in their ranking to a particular operation. And that's the way the gifts are ranked, and the way they are here, because they're in accordance with the diversities of the operations. And all we're after right now is to just look at them very generally. And we're only going to get a couple of them on the board here tonight. But I believe by doing this, we're going to get a feel for what we're after in all of this. And even though we see we got eight gifts listed here in a particular ranking, what I hope that we'll be able to see eventually is that there's at least five, and there could be more, but there's at least five operations that stand behind these eight gifts. Five operations that serve God as Father, and just as it said up there in verse 6, it is the same God that worketh all in all, and He's going to work these all in all to His glory, to His honor, to His usefulness. And they are five operations that are served by these eight gifts as they're ranked here, because they were designed to be accomplished in a particular order, and these eight gifts follow that order. So in me just yammering on there a little bit and giving you maybe a little bit of time to think about it, I see some of you looking at it pretty well. If you pay attention to kind of what's going on there, do you see any of them that might go together? Okay, the first three. Good. Apostles, prophets, teachers. And that terminology in your Bible helps you, because Paul, when he ranks them, he gives a first, a secondarily, and then a thirdly, but he doesn't give a fourthly, as I said, fifth or sixth, seventh, eighthly. But after the thirdly, he gives an after that, he gives a then. And it's as though Paul has in mind in his thinking that those first three gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, they have a very distinctive, single, thrusting, spear point operation of God in view, and they do. And when you think about apostles, prophets, and teachers, even though they could be dealt with separately, and they could be, but they all fall under kind of a major umbrella of something God is going to utilize them for, and they have a common operation in which they all function. What would you say it is? To spread the curriculum. You're not wrong.
Let me try one. To communicate the policy, special information that's needed, and to communicate all of the above concerning the Word of God to the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I bow to your understanding because you, I mean, you're saying it, you're bang on in what you're saying and what you're perceiving. I wanted to be a little more general than that, but you're going into, you're really seeing more critical into what these three gifts are for. And everything you said is great. Right on the money. Anybody else want to put it in the way they want to put it? I saw somebody wanting to say something, I thought. Yeah. Again, we're not after what each one of the gifts involves so much as what lies behind them in a general way. That's why I said an overall umbrella. They all fall under an umbrella. And Cecil mentioned it. I mean, he spoiled it for all of you. Oh, by the way, I love the idea that you have apostles, prophets, teachers, apt. Apt to teach. Well, that's kind of an inside thing with me. But if I was to take those first three, apostles, prophets, and teachers, they do fall, as Cecil said, they fall under the general category of communicating God's word. Whether you were an apostle, a prophet, or a teacher, they all three, all those gifts, have an operation that stands behind them. Op one, the first operation you perceive is the communication of God's word. That's what they're designed for. Whether it was done by the Apostle Paul as an apostle, or even an apostle in Israel's program like James, Peter, John, the prophets all did that. They spoke forth the word of God as God revealed it to Jeremiah or Isaiah or Daniel. And then the teachers of that were the ones who were supposed to take the written word of God and to teach it. But all of them come under that overall umbrella of the communication of God's word. And by the way, this is a ranking. And I'm not saying this just because I am a bishop, a pastor, teacher, but that is the best. By the way, Cecil knows this because I've actually told him probably 100 times if I've told him once. And anybody else who deals with me personally knows, I do not think I'm a very good pastor, but I would be a fantastic deacon. I would be one of the best deacons this earth ever knew. But it's like grabbing a hold of the tail of a tiger. Once you got it, what do? Let go? And I can remember having that conversation many times with Keith Blades. And I said, you know, what I ought to do is resign. And I tried it. You have no idea, by the way, how I tried to get him to be your pastor. I tried everything I knew to get him to come down here and take my position. And I told him, I said, I'll find a job, but I will be the best deacon you ever had. And I said, we've got a church full of others in here that'll support you. And I did everything I could to get him, and he would not do it. And I said, well, you know what that does then? He goes, yeah, it leaves you with the job. And I said, but I don't think I'm qualified. He said, unless you can stand behind that pulpit and look in your assembly and see somebody else better qualified than you, he said, you're it. So I'm stuck with it. By the way, that is my, without being self-deprecating, that really is my honest assessment of me as a pastor. But it's my job. I feel as a pastor kind of like Harry Truman felt as a president when he first got office. They all called him your accidency. And he said, it fell in my lap. It was my job to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. But it is, whether it's me or whoever it is, the one in communication of God's word is in the rank of best. That's the best gifts. And it's in fact, these apostles, prophets, teachers are the best of them all. And in the context of a local assembly, they're to be recognized that way as the best. Notice you don't have what's not even on the list, choir director. It's not even on, didn't even make the list. You know what else isn't on the list? Youth minister. Didn't make the list. Sorry. Yeah. Heart failure, isn't it? Not the best. Praise and worship team leader. You know, I almost feel like that guy on, what was that, Family Feud? Show me praise and worship team leader. It's not on there. Family Feud. But there's a reason why they're ranked that way. It's because in the context of a local assembly, prophet or apostle, prophet, teacher is to be recognized as the best and the main operation of God in the local assembly. The main operation of God in any local assembly is the communication of His Word. That's the main operation of God for that body, is to communicate His Word. And first and foremost, the local assembly is as we always say it is, it's a classroom for the communication of God's Word, of the curriculum for sonship edification, just as was mentioned before. And godly edification is the primary objective of that local assembly. And at the beginning of this dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit supernaturally, pew, 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 zapped members of a local assembly, supernaturally gifted them. But once the more excellent way came in, there's a superior way than that, in which some offices are filled, in which the same process takes place. In other words, the same process or the same operation of God takes place. And there's no more apostles today. There's, no matter what some of these people try to say, that they're an apostle. To be an apostle, you had to be actually commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ personally. I know they have their stories. He came in, flew through my window, sat on my bed. He had this great shiny shield with a star, red, white, and... Oh, no, that's Captain America. I always think, by the way, that most Christians think Jesus is an American. You ever get that idea? That Jesus is really upset because we're not following our founding fathers. Jesus was a Jew. They do know that. Jesus was an Israelite. He wasn't even half an Israelite. He was a whole Jew. Anyway, apostles, prophets, teachers, the operation of God is still, even though the prophets, there's no more prophets, the Word of God is complete, but you see teachers there. There's an office, and that office is still, but it's not given by some sovereign zapping of the Holy Ghost to get it. There's something far superior. Well, we're out of time. But you have those first three. I suppose between now and, if we had just another half hour, probably knocked it out, but that's all right. It's getting late. But think about now, there may be a couple more here that should be grouped. There are others that I think are very, very easy to see stand alone. And then there's some that you say, well, they could go together. But what I want you to think about, though, especially, I can't put this up there. This is why it'd be nice to have two things going at once here. But when you think about that little timeline chart that we had about what I want you thinking about most of all, when Paul's addressing this to the Corinthians here, they're now in the throes of that temporary period between the time that this dispensation of grace began and the time in which the more excellent way comes in. So when you think about the operations of God, I'll tell you ahead of time that'll help you out here. Several of the operations I'm going to list on the board are no longer viable operations that exist today. Now that one is, but I'll tell you this, the next one and the next one after that is not. But they served an operation within that window of time before the more excellent way came in. That's one of the great things about this list still being here in our Bibles, because it helps us understand and appreciate God's Word rightly divided and how to honestly handle God's Word. And to understand and appreciate the nature and all the more of that three-tiered process in which godly edifying works together with so naturally, so that it isn't just merely thinking, living, laboring, but that we have intelligence behind why we're thinking, what we're thinking, intelligence behind why it's important to behave ourselves this way, and then why from that behavior we're to grab a hold of certain offices, because we intelligently understand how the offices serve the body and the body serves the operations of God. That's what we need to gain out of all of this. And we're going to gain some real insight into that, really, in chapter 13 when we go through that together. And again, this isn't going to be drawn out until next fall. But it is, the more I've thought about it, we need to at least survey chapters 13 and probably chapter 14 as well. But beginning on Sunday, think now between now and then about the kind of operations that may stand behind miracles. There's an operation that stood behind that when that was occurring. And healings, plural. That one's probably the easiest one of the bunch for you, because I've covered that a lot with you. And then helps governments. And then that last guy up there, tongues. But by using this rank, giving you the operation, you're going to get a better insight when you come back to Romans to be able to think about what operations stand behind. And it's real, really, really elementary and simple for us there. But everything is when we first start out. All right, we'll stop right there and we'll pick this up then on Sunday morning. We're going to finish this out and hopefully finish the little survey of chapter 12 and maybe begin chapter 13 on Sunday morning. That's a holiday weekend, right, coming up? Are a bunch of you going to be gone? You're going to be gone. Anybody else going to be gone? Okay. Well, I'll think about it. I was thinking maybe just having one service and get out a little early. I haven't had a break in a while. But I don't know. I intended to do that on several times, but I wound up teaching forever. All right, I'll shut up. Let's stop. With our heads